We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. I'm your host, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our gorgeous sister in Christ, Miss Melanie Randall. How are you doing this morning, sister?
I am doing just fine.
Amen. Yes. It is the most powerful hour of my day. Sorry. Our sponsor for today.
Laughter is good.
Like it's healing for the soul.
Yes, it is.
It is so healing. Do you know what to say, sister?
Yes, the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes.
Yes, thank God for joy, not sadness.
Amen.
Praise God.
It is the most powerful hour of my day. If you have a praise report or prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourpower32@gmail.com. You can send it to our text line, 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page so that we'll do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Baines Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company that has Christian values. Today is Thursday. We're going to do our best to have a word from Pastor Dwight through the Truth broadcast. Pastor Dwight is not in the building. However, we should have a word from him through the Truth broadcast. So following the program here, we will end the iPad and then we will set it back up and come back with a word from Pastor Dwight through the Truth broadcast. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out? Because I really need prayer right now because I'm just giggling. And
well, Father God, we thank you for this morning setting. And it's just good to be in a setting where the joy of the Lord is present. So I thank you for that which is upon Monica. Because we don't know what may come where sadness and grief may take a hold. So we thank you for joy. We thank you for the message that you've given me this morning, Lord, for transformation in transition, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that all that you've given me, Lord, I will be able to speak it as you gave it, and that you would bless the hearers, Lord, that they would receive it even in this transition into a new year, God. Let us all make the transformation. And we give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I really like your title this morning, Miss Melanie. Making the transformation in the transition. And I already feel it. It's going to be good.
Oh, yes.
And I'm so hungry.
I already feel it too, Monica. I tell you, I hope you all out there feel it. I tell you, we are in a brand new year, and we're going to let you see a picture here that I took on New Year's morning, and I tell you, I was just thrilled. Anytime I get pictures that just show such vibrant colors, like they did that particular morning, I'm just excited. And so it shows you the transition, not just of day to night, but transition of morning. And so you see the different colors that come into play as minutes go by. And we wait for the sun to explode on the scene. And I just thank God for that. And I hope you are having a blessed new year so far. And I tell you what, I'm grateful for God having blessed us to transition over. And let me say this. We all have transitioned from 2022 to 2023. But will we have all made the transformation in the transition? This is what this message is about. And so I want you to get in your mindset that you're not just going to be going from year to year with the same mindset, with the same, as my husband's mother-in-law, my mother-in-law, but my husband's mother used to say, going through the same old rigmarole. Oh, I don't even know if that's a real word. Do you? You know, I just, you know, would hear things, you know, years ago that people saying, I didn't know if all those things were words or not, but, you know, we just don't want to keep going through the same pattern, just marking time as the days go on. There's something that I wrote down in here, and it's from a song, and it's called Hold to God's Unchanging Hand, and it says, time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. You know when that song was written? Back in 1904.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's been a while. Written by Jenny Wilson in 1904. The word naught means nothing. And people back in the day, in that time period, those, especially those from England, they would say something like, he's naught but a worthless fool. You know, they speak in that type of tone. But what we're saying here is that nothing on earth can stand unmoved by the transition of time. We've been singing that song, and some of us hadn't had a clue on what naught was. I know I didn't have a clue for the longest of time. I'd just be singing, naught on earth unmoved can stand. And every time we would sing that verse, I'd be wondering, what in the world is naught? You know? But it means that nothing on earth can stand unmoved by the transition of time. Think about that. Time is filled with swift transition. And this lady wrote this back in 1904, and to her, time was filled with swift transition. I tell you, it really is filled with swift transition now. I was just thinking, as this month has come in, and now we're into the second week of January, and I was thinking, you know, next thing you know, it'll be Valentine's Day. It just seems to me the time is just, the minutes, the seconds, the hours, the days are just so quickly passing on. So quickly passing on. And so as we live this life, and since time is so quickly going on, we have to live it intentionally. We have to live it with a purpose. And I want you to see, we're not going to be just talking about what purpose you have in mind, what ambitions and goals you have, but with the purpose of God in our lives. We got to live it with that type of purpose. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. We're going to bring out two scriptures at the beginning here, and we'll bring out about three more at the end. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. And it says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, that's a powerful verse right by itself. You know, we are beholding ourselves and not just looking Of course, as time goes by, our physical image transforms as well. But think about your spiritual self. We want to keep transforming inwardly and in a greater measure in the things of God. We don't want to conform to the things of the world, but we want to see ourselves transformed into the very image of God. It's important. All right, let's go to Galatians 2 and 20. Galatians 2 and 20. And it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so how do we live this transformed life? It's by Christ living it in us, through us. We allow him to express himself by the Holy Spirit in our lives, constantly changing and transforming us into the way that God would have us to be. When you think about transitions, think about the word transition. Transition means a change or shift from one state, subject, place, etc. to another. There are transitions that we have in life. We go from childhood to the teen years, to young adulthood, to mid-age, to seniorhood, which is where I stand now. So I don't reach the last of my hoods. I have reached the ultimate hood, seniorhood. My next hood is going to be heavenhood. Praise God indeed for that. And even in the adult life, you go from single to married, sometimes divorced, to single again. You know, these things happen. And then, of course, death enters in at the end. Seasons change. Jobs change. Unless you like my husband, I think he had two jobs in his life. He worked at Walmart for a little while, and after he got out of high school, thank God for Rick Ezell. He helped him get on at UPS, and he stayed there 30 years and retired. Everybody doesn't, you know, do it that way. You know, if it had not been for Walmart, he would have just been at UPS, and that'd been the only job he would have had. He did some cotton picking earlier, but I'm talking about real jobs. Well, that's a real job. That's a real physical job. No, let me not say real job, but I'm talking about jobs that you really get paid for, to get the real money for. Oh, my. But these things change in our lives. We go from grade to grade in our education, from kindergarten through 12th grade. And then you make the transition life of what you're going to do afterwards, whether it be going into the military or going into the workforce, going into college for further education. And each one of those type of transitions, just like you saw in this transition of mourning, you can see the outward changes in those transitions. You see what takes place outwardly. You see how a child goes from the baby stage into the childhood. You can see how they change, how they get to grow and learn and go from Similac to real food. You know, you see those changes outwardly. But to successfully maneuver through the changes of life, individuals must make the inward transformation. Believe it or not, and I'm sure some of y'all know people like this, there's some people that have grown to be adults, but they still, in their mindset, have the mindset of a child. And I'm not talking about being disabled mentally. I'm talking about they just haven't made the transformation that they should have made in being responsible as an adult in doing things. they still, you know, just they're married and still want to hang out all the time with the single men, you know. They don't want to take that responsibility as being a married man or being a father. They just want to still live that single life. And so people of God and people that are not of God, that need to be of God, we've got to get a different mindset about living this life. We've got to live it in a different manner. There's an emotional, mental, and financial adjustment that we have to make in living life. Now, all of these things I'm talking about are on the natural side. And as we see the outward change in the seasons, we see the transition of how the leaves turn. You know, I found out some fascinating things about not just seasons as far as trees, and I'm going to share on that wise as well. But it's I found out some fascinating things even about the animals in the changing of the seasons. There is a inward transformation, if you will, that causes the leaves to change colors to where we see it outwardly. See, it's not just a outward thing that the leaves all of a sudden just change colors. It has to happen inwardly first before you see it outwardly. In the fall, there is shorter length of daylight, and lower temperatures affect the amount of chlorophyll and other chemicals that cause the green coloring of the leaves. And so the chlorophyll becomes less, and these chemical changes break down in the midst of the shorter daylight and cooler temperatures, which in turn causes the leaves to turn colors. And they look so beautiful. But in the beauty we see, the leaves are dying. That's really what's happening. We see all these beautiful colors, but the leaves are dying. Certain type of evergreen trees, they have a valve that when it's in the wintertime and the cells start to freeze up, certain types of these trees, evergreen trees, have a valve that seal off automatically frozen cells in the winter to keep nearby cells from freezing so that it preserves the life of the tree. Did you hear what I said? I mean, it's got a valve that just automatically kicks in at a certain time of the year to keep certain frozen cells from not hitting all the other cells so that the tree can be preserved in a dormant state. I mean, that's a God. You hear me? That's why the tree won't die in the wintertime. And it can come back again in the spring. And so there's that. I mean, who does that but God? Now, get this here. This was the most fascinating thing I found, and I believe some of you people that are hunters, I know you probably already know this, but I'm not a hunter or anything, but I just found this to be so fascinating, dealing with the white-tailed deer. The white-tailed deer has what is called two sets of hairs. The outer hairs are called guard hairs, and up under the outer guard hairs is the under fur. And so the under fur is real thick, and it acts like insulation to the deer. And so what happens is, and this under fur is thicker than even sheep's wool. And so what happens when the cold air gets past the guard hairs and hits that under fur, it traps the air. And then the body heat causes it to warm it, and then the deer stays warm in the winter. Wow. Isn't that something? Huh. I mean, it's just fascinating how things act in nature. And I have said it more than once, everything in nature seems to obey what it was created for, but man.
Come on.
What? We've got this God vacuum in us. This crying out for us to seek him, and it's like we just buck the system. I don't want to seek him. I want to do my own thing. What if the white-tailed deer, you know, just decided it just didn't want to do right, you know? I mean, what if animals just decided they just want, they just gonna buck the system, you know? we just can't, you know, we got to take these lessons from nature and to help us in life. Back to the white-tailed deer. Now, when springtime comes, they have a term that says that the white-tailed deer blows its coat. And somehow or another, the underfur, I don't know, blows off or comes off some kind of way. And it's the term I said is called blows its coat. Now, I mean, God is so creative. He lets the white-tailed deer, lets this undercoat just blow off, come off some kind of way. I don't know. It sounds just odd to me, but it sounds like it's a God thing, you know. Now, you know, everything in nature is just functioning on a, look like a biological time clock. And these things, even in other things that happen, as far as certain animals turning white during the wintertime to match up with the snow and it, you know, so they'll blend in and, you know, won't be preyed upon. Things of that nature, it's like something that sends a signal to the brain of that animal, and it's like it knows it's that time of the year, and the coat just turns, you know, a certain color, turns white. Man, I tell you, some of us need to watch National Geographic. You'll learn a lot. And I mean, it'll take you from the natural to have your mind thinking about the spiritual, and you'll be blessed, really. And so we're talking about transition, but we're also talking, see, the seasons make their transition. Mm-hmm. But in the transition of the seasons, you got transformation going on in nature. Y'all getting it? Y'all getting this transformation thing now in the transition? You got transformation that is being made in the transition of the seasons. My God. Thank you, Lord. So let's, you know, keep the mindset of where we are going in our living of life and where we need to make transformation. Some of us have been living life a certain way so long, and it's not getting us anywhere. It's just, you know, keeping us in a place that where we're not happy. It's keeping us in a place where where life is like a drudgery. And so what I want to do is I want to leave a thought with you to let you know life does not have to be that way. Your life does not have to be like 2022 in 2023. It can be a different year. Amen. It can be. It really can, people of God and people not of God. Your life can be different. Mm-hmm. God can help you, and he can make the transformation if you allow him to, if you allow Christ to live within you. I was listening to a testimony on Joni's Table Talk show way on. It came on. I didn't catch it early, so it was way past. It was past midnight. I'm a later person to stay up late at night. But anyway, it so blessed me, because it was a young man from Sweden. His name was Joachim, and I can't remember the last name, but he was from Sweden. He was saying that Sweden is the second most secularized country or nation in the world. And he said he grew up in the Lutheran church, but he says nobody really tells you about giving your life to the Lord in the Lutheran church. They just tell you stories. He said, they give you stories. He said, and his family, he had a lot of priests, what they call Lutheran priests in his family, but they didn't have a relationship with the Lord. And, you know, I know it sounds strange to be in a church where you really don't talk about submitting your life to the Lord, but you just tell stories, and nobody really has a relationship. And he said, some of them really didn't even believe in God. And so I'm thinking, well, what kind of church is that? That's not church. Well, I mean, that's not a place of worship. If you just, you know, you're just carrying out a form of godliness without the power of God, as the scripture talks about. There's no real transformation there. That's why I'm bringing this out. There's no real transformation there. And so anyway, he was talking about, he said, in America, you can just see all these churches on every corner. He says, but in Sweden, you said, you can go a long ways You know, you don't see churches, you know, for a good number of miles. You know, they're just not like that there. But anyway, he said he was invited by a friend to go to a particular gathering of young people. And his friend wasn't quite truthful about what was going to be there. He was telling him there's going to be, well, there was some women there, some young ladies there, but he was telling him there's going to be some booze. That's where he said it there. And he gets there, and it's not quite like that. These people are worshiping God with their hands uplifted, these young people. And he said he looked at them, and he said he had never seen nothing like that. You know, but he saw a realness in these young people in their relationship with God. And apparently that gripped him, and he decided he wanted to give his life to the Lord, and he did. And now he has, and this, he was like, I think 16 or 17. He started preaching at 17. I do remember that. He started preaching, and he started getting together a group of young people to pastor. And he said, the reason, he says, because nobody else was there to do that. He said, he had to. He just... He couldn't just let them. He said he was so full of God. He would just, you know, witness, and the young people started getting saved. And, I mean, it was a whole group of them. And so he had to become a pastor. I mean, he had to learn in a hurry, you know. But and now he was talking about how many churches all across the world that he oversees, you know, through just traveling and you know, God used him in such a mighty way. Look at the transformation. And he was talking about how, you know, there's an influx. You know, we see at the southern border that it's influx of people coming in. But this is not just happening with America. There's countries over in Europe, countries and other places where there's just this influx of refugees coming from other countries and fleeing their lives because they're being, you know, persecuted or whatever. And so he says they have set up stations like in Greece and in Sweden and just, you know, different places for these people to come in, and Muslims are coming in, and oh, it's just beautiful. Folks are being saved, refugees from other places being saved. See, look at all this transformation taking place through the life of one young man that was transformed by the power of the living God. This is a living gospel. This is not church as usual. This is not for us to just come in and have our I don't know what you say, 10-minute hymn time of singing. And I love, don't get me wrong, because I like the hymns. I like to sing hymns every once in a while. God just will place one in my spirit that really relates to me. And so, but we're not there just to do 10 minutes of singing, and the pastor do his 20-minute sermon, and then we get out at 1 o'clock, or when we get out at 12, rather, because we don't get out at 12, so... Yeah, we get out later. But some of us get out at 12, and Lord have mercy, if we go over 5 or 10 minutes past 12, it's like, hey, you know we're supposed to be getting out of here. You got better be cutting it short. No, God wants to move in the hearts and minds of a people, and it takes time, because people are so engrafted in sin till it takes time, Monica, for God to reach some people. It takes time.
That's so true. You know, whenever I first came back, I was one that my mama took me to church. She drugged me. My mama drugged me when I was growing up, y'all. She drugged me to church.
I understand. Me too.
I love you, Mom. I'm so glad you drugged me. Because that was the foundation, you know. And as I got older, life happened. And I didn't make the best decisions when life hit me. I was one that I turned my back. I was one that said, if this is what it is, I don't want it. And I went the opposite direction. And then eventually, I'm real stubborn, y'all. It took a lot of years for me to hit bottom. But when I finally hit rock bottom, that's when the rock showed up, my Lord, my Jesus. And he said, just come home. just come home. And I was, and I started getting the want to. He started working, and I was like, Lord, I can't do it by myself. I can't do it. And one thing I started doing was I took John 3:16, because I was one that believed that was for them. You know, God, Jesus died for them, not for me. And that was a lie from the pit of hell. And I believed it. And it took time for God to get to the root of that.
Yes. To root that stuff out.
You know, because I would just cut it off.
Yeah.
And when you cut the grass, what does it do? It grows back. When you cut a weed, yes. What does it do? It comes back.
Yes.
If you don't get to the root, it ain't going nowhere, baby. And it took time for God to get to the root, to help me get to the root, so that I could say, Lord, I don't want this. This isn't what I want. I want you. But one thing my mama had on her refrigerator is a heart, a paper heart. And I was walking through her kitchen one day, and I seen that heart on her wall. And it said, for God so loved Monica. And my name was in there. My name was in that. And God used that to start cultivating the ground. Yes. To dig around so that we could get to the root and pull it up from the root. And now, at 51, back up, yes, sir. In 2015, I made a decision that I wanted to get back right with God. I wanted to get in a right relationship with God. And I was convinced that I had to get convinced that it was done for me too. Because I had went so long believing that it wasn't. And it took time for me to make that switch, to believe that it was for me too.
Yes.
It's not just for the preacher. It's not just for the lady who sings all the hymns and sits on the front row.
Yes.
It's for everybody.
It is.
Who wants it.
Yes.
And in coming back, I started going back to church, and I got encouraged to read my Bible. And when I got a Bible, my son and his wife got me a Bible that I can understand, that I can, you know, when I read it, it's like, well, what is that? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I made the decision before I even opened it. Okay, Lord, this is not just a book.
No.
It's not just some book on a shelf.
No.
It's alive.
Yes.
And I'm going to believe that. I'm going to make up my mind before I even open it. And I'm going to make up my mind that every single word I read is truth. Period. And then I'm going to do my best to apply it to me like a salve, like a lotion. And I'm going to do my best to abide by your word.
Amen.
And in doing that, it's changed my life.
Yes, yes.
I didn't grow up wanting to be an addict. I didn't grow up, well, when I turn 21, I'm going to start using IV drugs. That wasn't a goal. Nobody wants to be that. But stuff happens. Hey, stuff happens. Life happens.
Yes, yes.
But God. He is so sweet.
You know, we all have had our paths that have led us to God. And we just have to be thankful that God used all of the to bring us to that realization, you know, of the fact that we need him. And as you were talking about, his word is living. When I'm studying the word of God, and even just earlier, a couple days or so ago, when I was looking at the word, God shows me how living his word is. I can be reading, and certain things are highlighted in red. I'm serious. I'll be reading the word of God, and sometimes, and it doesn't happen all the time, but it happened, like I said, a couple days ago. Just certain things are just kind of highlighted in red. And it's, you know, it's not all the, you know, because it's Jesus' words either. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing. God will let you know just how alive his word is, you know, and how much it relates to our everyday living. I think I went almost beyond what I normally go in.
It's okay.
But do we have any prayer requests?